Thanks for checking out the latest episode of the Spencer on Sports podcast. Heard weekday afternoons from 2 to 3 on KGYM.
Happy Friday, everybody. We've made it to the end of another week. We've also made it to Iowa Football Media Day. How you doing? Spencer on Sports with you here on 1600 KGYM. Find us on the FM dial, 102.3 in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 in Iowa City and Coralville. Streaming online as well, KGYMradio.com. While you're there clicking the big Listen Live Now button, you should vote in our poll question, courtesy of our friends at Hawkeye Title and Settlements. In honor of Media Day today, getting your early thoughts. How many games you think the Iowa football team is going to win this season? That's the poll question, KGYMradio.com. Your options, very simple. You think they win 9 or more? You think they're around the 7-8 plateau? Or you think this is season to forget in your mind? 6 or fewer wins this year for Iowa football. You can make your voice heard or let your voice be heard in the poll question at KGYMradio.com. If you want to text in your thoughts as well on your early predictions for win totals, you can do that as well. Talker text line is open, 319-366-1600. Again, 319-366-1600. Spencer Wagon, my name, producer Isaac, along for the ride as well. Glad to be with you as always here on a Friday. We will get you the latest, very latest from Iowa City. Kirk Ferentz is talking as we speak to kick off Media Day, so we don't have the audio right now, but we will later on this afternoon. I'll be filling in again for Todd Brommelkamp today, but has had a few things to say so far from boots on the ground in Iowa City at Kinnick Stadium, talking specifically as much as he can talk about the gambling investigation that broke yesterday. More news coming out from that. Kirk Ferentz sharing at least his thoughts, the thoughts that he can share today as part of his opening Q&A to begin Media Day. We'll get you the latest info on that. Some news coming out about two of the former Hawkeyes that were charged yesterday, in case you missed that news. Second round of charges arriving yesterday, affecting both Iowa and Iowa State. Some news coming out after local programming left the air last night about two of the former Iowa players and how their current schools are handling this news. And we'll get to that here momentarily. Also, I'll give you a little bit of a taste of season preview talk about Iowa football coming up in just a moment. Have some archived audio from Big Ten Media Days involving Kirk Ferentz and Cooper DeGene and Jay Higgins as well. We'll get that for you here momentarily. Stick with the college realignment theme. Nothing new to report, essentially, but an interesting report out earlier today from John Canzano, who covers the Pac-12, about just how badly this was bungled from a Pac-12 perspective. Let's just say they didn't really understand their own value, and it basically cost them the conference, depending on what happens here with the Pac-4, the remaining four. We'll talk about that before 3 o'clock as well. Get to a little NFL. First taste of preseason action last night. Vikings fans, I know you're probably not thrilled with how things turned out, but, solid play from some of the key guys, some of the rookies last night. Break that down for you and look at tonight's schedule, too. And take a look at some Major League Baseball news and notes, all before we're done here at 3 o'clock. Again, 319-366-1600. Isaac, what's new over there? How did the soccer go? Was that last night?
Yeah, that was last night.
Good or bad?
Netherlands did not end up winning.
Okay.
They did not deserve to win. Also,
them short, man.
Yeah, it went to extra time, overtime, I guess, would be kind of a term most people would know. Yeah, Spain definitely was the better team. Netherlands kind of caught them out just this one time and were able to equalize pretty late. And then I was thinking it might go to penalty kicks. Did not end up going to penalty kicks there. Spain got a winner in the second half of extra time. Probably deserved. And then Japan lost, too, to Sweden. So it's going to be Sweden versus Spain. And that should be a pretty good match there. But otherwise, yeah, Netherlands lost, unfortunately. I got no rooting interest now. I'll just root for whoever has the best kit. Whoever,
like we talked yesterday, you're going to buy the kit of who who wins, right?
Yeah, yeah, whoever wins. So whoever has the nicest, that's who I'll cheer for. And, well, now that Japan's out, for whoever wins this tournament will be a first-time winner of the Women's World Cup, no matter what. Japan was the last remaining team who had won it before. So that's kind of fun.
Yeah, there you go. Very good. Well, we'll check in with you throughout the program here today. Producer Isaac is here if you want to jump on the phone line and get your thoughts live on the radio via the old phone call method. You'll speak to Isaac before you speak to me, but otherwise, talk or text line is open at 319-366-1600. Let's get to the latest here. I filled in for Todd Brommelkamp yesterday between 4 and 6, and if you want to hear my thoughts and Isaac's thoughts and kind of the in-the-moment kind of breaking news coverage of the news from yesterday about the second round of charges coming out, like I mentioned, in the sports betting investigation affecting both Iowa and Iowa State athletes. I encourage you to check out the podcast at kgymradio.com. But just to summarize the news from yesterday, 8 more charges of tampering with records were filed yesterday as part of the DCI's probe. 4 coming in Story County, which, of course, is home to Iowa State University. Those came against current Iowa State football players. And then 4 more were filed in Johnson County against 1 current player, 2 former players, and a current student assistant. The 2 former players mentioned and facing charges in the DCI's probe of tampering with records are Arlen Bruce, who has since transferred to Oklahoma State, and Reggie Bracey, who has since transferred to Troy. And then both respective schools, the breaking, it's not necessarily breaking news, but updates that we had come out last night. I believe Adam Rittenberg from ESPN was doing some digging on his end with this, and both schools coming out with statements regarding the former Hawkeyes that are now current members of their program. As for Arlen Bruce, Oklahoma State says, essentially, they're aware and gathering information. This was as of about 8 o'clock last night and had no further comment at that time. As for Reggie Bracey, Troy University, a little bit more definitive statement for his status. Bracey has been suspended from all team-related activity from the Troy University football program. And I saw something earlier today that's the second defensive player for Troy that has faced a suspension this off season. So a hurt there for the Troy football team, but both you would assume, again, never want to assume things, but considering the nature of this case, both will likely be held out of practices, and considering the allegations, both say that they placed wagers on their own team. That would mean, obviously, loss of eligibility going forward as this case plays out. But as we mentioned, 4 from Iowa, 1 current player, 2 former players, and a current student assistant. And then the 4 players for Iowa State included 4 starters from last year's team, including Jirel Brock, leading rusher last year, Isaiah Lee, Deshaun Hanukkah, and Jacob Remsburg as well. So certainly for Iowa State, you add in Hunter Deckers, the starting quarterback, who is part of the first wave of charges there. And you add in all the number of players that have been charged in the DCI's probe with this. 15 charges now total have been filed in this sports betting investigation. Again, if you want to check out our thoughts as it happened essentially from yesterday, I do encourage you to check out the podcast at kgymradio.com from the Todd Brommelkamp show yesterday. Kirk Ferentz, of course, as we go into media day today, speaking of the Iowa cases specifically, you know there is going to be plenty of questions for Kirk Ferentz today. Questions about that, questions about conference realignment, and questions about the offense, plus anything else that might come up here going into media day in Iowa City. Kirk Ferentz, and again, he's speaking as we're talking to you right now, so we don't have the audio straight available yet, but we'll get it for you after the show here today and before the 4 to 6 block here on KGYM. But Kirk Ferentz saying essentially the same thing you heard Matt Campbell say, right, at Iowa State Media Day last week, that this whole situation is an open investigation. So there's really not a lot that he could say. Kirk Ferentz saying that they're going to handle each case individually as they come. and saying that the university and the football team are going to continue to cooperate with the investigation going forward. Kirk saying, in a direct quote from one of the reporters on scene, said, quote, "The integrity of the game has to be protected as we move forward. We just hope the decisions are thoughtful and that they're making good decisions," end quote. Kirk also adding that he hopes they are made in a timely manner. And Isaac, we talked about this yesterday when it comes to that, speaking on both tracks, right? The DCI part and the NCAA part. And obviously the NCAA part determines, you know, eligibility for his team, not just for, you know, maybe a handful of games if the situation is the student athlete maybe bet on, you know, the NBA or whatever, and maybe it was kind of a case where they thought it wasn't doing anything wrong, it wasn't on my team, wasn't on a sport at the school. That still has to deal with potential missing 5-6 games, whatever it may be, but also the players that have been on their own team, which, as we've seen as these stories have come out, these charges have come out, it's quite a few of them. In fact, it's nearly all of them that have placed bets on their own team, and obviously that's a whole other can of worms to open. Timeliness, as we talked about yesterday when we broke the news, certainly would be appreciated, as we heard Kirk Ferentz talk about today in Iowa City. But, boy, as we know, the NCAA can be anything but timely. But Kirk Ferentz certainly is hoping that they will be in this case, with the season so close by.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't hold my breath for the NCAA. Hopefully they have something soon, but I don't know. If there's nothing in the next week or so, you got to think it's kind of too late for any significant changes to the program, because I just don't know how. If it's not in the next week, I don't know how you can really game plan around, if it's a significant part of your offense or defense, how you can really game plan around missing a person here or there. There's still going to be a lot more that comes out, either with the DCI or just the NCAA. It doesn't seem like it's going to be the fastest moving thing, unfortunately. I think everyone wants it to be pretty much over, though. You don't like to be up in the air with a lot of things around your program, and it's just kind of annoying that the NCAA hasn't said anything after changing the rules. That seems so long ago now.
Right.
We've had two kind of drops of name of the players.
Waves, right.
I don't know what to call it, but that's them. The NCAA changing the rules seems ancient at this point, and it's been pretty much radio silent from them ever since that.
And the NCAA rules, again, were made retroactive. Those rule changes were made retroactive to anything after May 2nd. And it was determined when Iowa reported this, their reporting was on like May 5th. So they just fit in that within that window. So it was almost like the NCAA saw this happening and said, well, we're going to make it retroactive to this date, and here are the new rules that we've approved. And okay, well, what does that mean? And I know they're, you know, again, there's two separate investigations, the DCI part, which is the criminal part, the NCAA part, which is the eligibility part, which is going to cost eligibility for pretty much everybody involved in this, especially a guy like Arlen Bruce, who's alleged to have placed, 12 bets, six in the last 2 years over Iowa football. I said this yesterday, I'll keep saying it, it is a messy situation, and you hope someone realizes, oh, gee, the season starts, it's 14 days from tomorrow, is week zero, 21 days for Iowa State. They open September 2nd. So you'd hope something would come down by then. But like you said, kind of a holding pattern. Kirk Ferentz was asked about one of the big names that we know about that has been above board and admitted to their involvement in this, Noah Shannon. Kirk Ferentz, according to reporters at Media Day today, saying Noah Shannon is in a holding pattern just like the other players. And Kirk saying he's not aware of Shannon being charged with anything as of this point. A couple other things from Kirk. Again, just quoting from reporters on the scene. Kirk saying that he found out essentially about the new information as we found out essentially. Talked about an outside law firm handling this situation with the student athletes that have been charged, and some athletes have attorneys for obvious reasons. Kirk also talking about the rules of gambling, and he said Quote, it's an annual thing. I think we need to evaluate the education level when it comes to gambling rules that are emphasized every year when it comes to the student athletes. So again, we heard from him at Big Ten Media Days saying essentially the same thing, like they're told about it. They know about it. They know the rules. Maybe we need to remind them of the rules even more so, because this is obviously a very big problem. 319-366-1600. David and Hudson on the text line asking, this is either a state of Iowa problem or apparently no other states care about the student betting. I think the other states care. Iowa's just the only one investigating it at this point. So that's why it's not a conspiracy against Iowa. I don't think it is. Maybe I'm totally off base. I don't know, but I don't think it's a conspiracy against Iowa. I just think Iowa is the only state that is really taking a hard look at this through the DCI's probe. And unfortunately, Iowa and Iowa State are being made an example of in this situation. And again, I've said this once and I'll say it before, or I've said it once and I'll say it again, excuse me. I think this is going to cause a lot of athletic departments to really say, oh, maybe we should look at this. And whether they, you know, you'd hope in the interest of transparency, they would put out their findings, their, you know, if there is something that has gone awry, like a scandal of this nature, right? You'd hope they, like a North Carolina or a Clemson or a Texas Tech, just a random school just pulling out of midair, would say, hey, this is, you know, what we're doing. This is what we found. This is who's impacted. In the interest of transparency, we're going to do this. But so far, we haven't heard anything from any other state aside from Iowa. So, yes, it does seem like Iowa is the only state that cares. Iowa is the only state that is, you know, doing any digging into this. And, well, they are, but they're the only state actually investigating it. And you'd imagine that other states would come forward, or if not, they're working behind the scenes kind of trying to see how this all plays out, because it is still playing out right before our very eyes. 319-366-1600. Again, talking about media day today. We'll have Kirk Ferentz audio here coming up later on. I'll be filling in for Todd Brommelkamp again today between 4 and 6. So if you want to hear exact content from Kirk Ferentz and others at media day, invite you to tune in coming up later on this afternoon, but doing our best here today as we get rolling here on a Friday afternoon. Big news with this, and this goes with that kind of, I'll call it cautious optimism or just plain optimism with the fans, but getting closer and closer to another full home season sellout, Iowa and Rutgers, as I think it was Todd or someone else called it, Puntapalooza between the two teams. Adam Korsak, I don't think, plays for Rutgers anymore, so you can't have the two punters and Torrey Taylor and Adam Korsak going at it again this year. But the Iowa football game against Rutgers, November 11th, Veterans Day, has been sold out. That announcement made earlier today. The sixth of seven Iowa home contests that has reached sellout status. Other games that are now sold out, of course, include Utah State, the season opener, Western Michigan, Michigan State, Purdue, and Minnesota, along with the Rutgers game. And Iowa saying there are a number of tickets, a limited number of tickets, for the home finale against Illinois 1 week later on the 18th, still around. So if you've not bought tickets yet, well, you got one choice left if you're not going the secondary route, and that is the Illinois game on the 18th. 2:23 coming up on 2:24. Take a quick timeout. A little bit more from the Iowa football side of things. Some actual on the field talk after we update you on the gambling news from yesterday, sports betting news from yesterday. Get some archived audio from Big Ten Media Days here in just a little bit. And we'll also take a look at the landscape of college football. Some new news coming out from the Pac-12 and just how badly that whole situation was bungled by George Kliavkoff and others in the Pac-12 offices. We'll get to that coming up in a couple minutes. Eastern Iowa's home for sports is 1600 KGYM, and you're listening to Spencer on Sports.
Eastern Iowa weather on the gym.
I'm meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your weather first forecast, and we're going to have plenty of sunshine for the rest of the afternoon. It's going to be hot and humid with temperatures around 90 degrees. As we head into this evening, we'll have the chance for some scattered showers and storms, mainly after 8 p.m. A storm or two could be strong with gusty winds. We'll then dry out as we head into Saturday, and we'll have plenty of sunshine with temperatures in the mid-80s. We'll be dry to start Sunday with a chance for storms increasing in the evening. That's your latest Iowa's News Now weather first forecast.
The world has faced a lot of challenges since the 1940s, when Willa Dickens walked in the door of Hertine and Stocker Jewelers. And over the decades, as his business and family grew, he realized that jewelry is more than mere metals and stones. It's a message, one that's lasting and meaningful. It can be something you say to yourself, like cheery, colorful gemstones that tell you beautiful days are ahead. Or a diamond that says, you are stronger than you know. Jewelry from Hertine and Stocker can also offer a special message to someone else, conveying sentiments like, I love you, I appreciate your friendship, or I can't wait until we see each other again. It's a beautiful statement you make to yourself or the people who are important in your life, especially now. So stop and see what's sparkling in those famous windows at Hertine and Stocker Jewelers, corner of Dubuque and Washington Streets in downtown Iowa City. Then step inside and say hi to Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate. One of them is always there.
The biggest pro football contests in Vegas are back and bigger than ever with $14 million in guaranteed prizes only at Circa Sports. Enter in Nevada, play from anywhere, two ways to win and no rake. Play Circa Million, make five picks against the spread each week with quarterly and full season payouts, or join Circa Survivor. Select one team each week straight up. Last the longest to win it all. $14 million in guaranteed prizes. Visit CircaSports.com for details. Circus Sports Iowa encourages you to gamble responsibly. Problems with gambling? Call or visit 1-800-BETS-OFF.
Keep cool all summer long with 11% off everything at Menards. Check out our great selection of fans and air conditioners. Pick up a Denali Air 9000 BTU mini split air conditioner. It's perfect for rooms up to 400 square feet. Setting the temperature is easy with a convenient LED screen. Now $978.99 after 11% rebate. Good through August 13th. Savings are mail-in rebate. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards.
Advanced Electrical Services is looking for an experience-based journeyman and electrician helpers. This is an excellent chance to start your career or take it up a notch. You'll work full-time, year-round. Come use your skills to do high-quality work for this local, family-owned company with a positive culture and top reputation in the community. Visit advancedelectrical.com to see what they're about. Then call to set up a time to apply in person. Advanced Electrical Services in Iowa City is an equal opportunity employer. Women and minorities are encouraged to apply.
Tune into the gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp for Drive Time, driven by Linder Tire.
227 with Spetzer on Sports for Friday, 11th day of August of 2023. 319-366-1600. Gym class coming up between 3 and 4. Todd Brommelkamp Show with me, the Spetzer on Sports takeover of the Todd Brommelkamp Show. Coming up between 4 and 6, plenty more reaction to Media Day happenings today. Kirk Ferentz continuing to talk today, speaking about the offensive line, talking about their improvement, sounds like, so far. Direct quote from Kirk Ferentz from Boots on the Ground at Kinnick Stadium this afternoon, saying Connor Colby is practicing at a far distant rate than he was last year, saying he looks like a different football player than he did the last 2 years. Saying the maturity factor is good with the offensive line, and talking about Rusty Feth, saying he's coming in and getting better every day and that he feels a lot better with where they're at on the offensive line. Also talking about improvements for guys like Luke Lachey and Deontay Vines, who Kirk Ferentz said is having a great preseason so far. So showing that optimism for his team. Did say at the beginning, though, that they're not game ready. I don't feel like anybody's game ready at this point. Still, you know, a few weeks out. Again, 21 days from start of Iowa football, which is 21 days from tomorrow, I should say. But still, looks like if you are headed to Kids Day at Kinnick tomorrow, you should be able to see maybe some of that improvement on the field at Kinnick Stadium tomorrow. Remind you of our poll question at KGYMradio.com in honor of Media Day today, asking you your initial thoughts on a win total for the Iowa football team this year. How many games will they win this season? 9 or more? Are you 7 to 8 seems about right? Or are you glass half empty, 6 or fewer? You can vote at KGYMRadio.com. Courtesy of our friends at Hawkeye Title and Settlement, the early leader in the clubhouse is 9 or more. Make your voice heard. Poll question right now at KGYMRadio.com. 319-366-1600. Speaking of the season, moving away from the off-the-field stuff focusing on-the-field stuff and preparing for the actual season, Iowa sharing that same optimism. The players sharing the same optimism. I think a lot of the fans have. Cooper DeGene said this at Big Ten Media Days last month in Indianapolis about the high hopes they have for the 2023 season.
I think we got a lot of talent. It's just about putting it all on the field. We've been working hard this offseason. Guys have been getting extra reps on the field after lifts, in meeting rooms together, watching film. So we got a lot of guys that are committed to this team. And a lot of guys that want to win a lot of football games.
Jay Higgins, another one of the players that went to Big Ten Media Days and represented the university, of course, taking over for Noah Shannon as part of that situation there. Higgins said this about preparing for the Big Ten season.
When you're in the Big Ten, like anywhere is hard. And then, honestly, when you come to Kinnick, we want to defend Kinnick as much as we possibly can. So, I mean, we're going to bring our best every week. Everybody's going to get our best. And that's really just how the Big Ten Conference is built. There's no easy games. There's no off games. We're going in every week preparing like it's our last game of the year.
Jay Higgins from Big Ten Media Days. Again, we'll do our best to get some player audio as well here later on this afternoon. Players are talking till about 4:30 today, so we'll do our best to get it in toward the tail end of local programming today as we come to you here on a Friday afternoon. 319-366-1600. Another hot topic is expansion. Kirk Ferentz asked about that, saying essentially we'll figure it out and we'll make it work. Said, though, an 11 o'clock game in the West is not ideal. Yeah, that doesn't seem all that fun, but it's the Big Ten reality coming up in 2024, right? We'll see how this all assimilates, because it's going to be it's weird talking about it, but it's going to be even weirder to see it on the field. 319-366-1600, 4702 with their prediction. 11-1, see you in Indy. Okay, I'd be a little bit lower than that. We had someone asking me about my Minnesota Vikings prediction yesterday. I will make predictions on this radio program the week leading up to the season. So the week leading up to September 2nd, we'll make my college predictions. The week leading up to the first Thursday game, the Chiefs-Lions, is when I'll make my NFL predictions for sure. So if you're looking for those, you're waiting for those. I've already kind of hinted at some of my predictions as we've talked about it through the summer leading up to today, but I'd be a little bit less today if I was making the call. How would I answer the poll question? I'm not glass half empty on this team. I'm not going full on disaster mode, press the panic button. I'm choosing to look at this glass half full just because I'm trying to spread good vibes. I'm not trying to carry water for anybody. I'm not trying to, like, you know, be Mr. Positive just because I can. I just think we need to look at things through a positive lens, because there's a ton of negativity, especially when it comes to sports, whether it's Iowa football or other things in our sports world. I'd be between the top two options, but I think the schedule sets up nicely that they win more than 8. Not my official prediction, but I think it sets up nicely. As 4702 also points out, Penn State is going to be tough, and I think between that and Wisconsin, those are the two toughest games on the schedule. We'll see where Nebraska's at on November 24th. You never know, a new coach, new system, new quarterback. Not going to be the same Nebraska team we saw last year, so it's going to be interesting to see where they're at by the end of the year. If they're playing good football, could that be a solid rivalry game? It was last year. I mean, Nebraska blew out Iowa for all it's worth in Iowa City last year. But I don't know. Between Penn State and Wisconsin, those are the two toughest. So if those are the only two you lose, well, you're 10-2. That would be option one on the poll question. But your thoughts welcome at kgymradio.com or on the text line at 319-366-1600. I won't reveal what's happening on the text line right now because a certain radio host on this station who's on vacation is interacting with listeners while I'm seeing the text go through. I'll just leave it at that. You could deduce who is on vacation today. I've even said who's on vacation today. He was on vacation yesterday, too. But there's a back and forth going, and I have nothing to do with it. I'm so confused. I see these texts coming in, and they're not even directed at me. Not even directed to the topic at hand. It's weird. 319-366-1600. I wanted to get to this Pac-12 story. This is really, I keep saying the word sad, and that's the only word I can really think of when it comes to it. But John Canzano, who covers the Pac-12, had a story earlier today about how this all got started, really, and how we got from the Pac-12 being a thing, being a conference, being a Power 5 conference, maybe not the strongest Power 5, but still a solid Power 5 that had a seat at the table, to now two teams maybe joining the ACC, maybe a merger with the Mountain West. Like, all the options I feel like are still on the table here. But John Canzano reporting today, ESPN apparently offered the Pac-12 a TV rights deal of $30 million per school 1 year ago. 1 year ago, $30 million per school. Now, you remember the supposed Apple TV Plus deal that the conference or the schools rejected was about $23 million. There was a last-ditch offer to bump it up to $25 million, but that was subscription only, based on, you know, people signing up and paying for a separate package on Apple TV Plus. The Pac-12 screwed this up, if this reporting is indeed correct. Canzano reporting that ESPN said, okay, $30 million per school. You know, here are the terms. We'd love to have you on the, you know, on our networks. We want to make you a big part of what we do. The Pac-12 and their presidents and chancellors told George Kliavkov to go back to ESPN and say, actually, we want $50 million per school. So ESPN is saying $30 million, and, you know, here are the terms. And, you know, you can like it, you can hate it. The conference presidents and chancellors said, we think we're worth more. Go back to the bargaining table and go for 50 mil. Well, you can imagine how that went, considering where we are at right now with only four teams left in the Pac-12 for 2024. Canzano, per his sources, saying after Kliavkov went back to the bargaining table with ESPN and said, we see your 30 million, but we'd like 50 mil. According to Canzano, ESPN's response was one word: goodbye. ESPN said, no, you get 30 mil or you get nothing. And the Pac-12 got nothing. Again, just reporting, have not seen any, like, you know, corroborating evidence. And I don't think we'd ever see any corroborating evidence from, you know, ESPN's side of things with that, or anything that maybe twists things in the Pac-12's favor. But certainly when you're offered that much, and it's not as much as, you know, the Big Ten, even the Big 12, because the Big 12 members swooped in and jumped in line in front of the Pac-12 and said, oh, hey, ESPN, we'll gladly take 30. I think it ended up at $31 million per school. And now the Pac-12, well, essentially does not exist anymore. It's an interesting spot to be in, that is for sure. ESPN's Adam Rittenberg was on SportsCenter all night last night right here on KGYM and basically shared more news about where this is going. Said it's not necessarily done, the thought that Stanford and Cal could join the ACC, but there are several schools, as we talked about yesterday, in the ACC that are, you know, stunning development, looking out for their student athletes, looking out for their coaches, and saying, this doesn't make sense to have us go across the country to play essentially a conference game, right? Conference games out in California, flying from Syracuse, New York, out to Berkeley or whatever it may be. ESPN also speaking with Gloria Navarez, the commissioner of the Mountain West. They're essentially standing back and waiting as well. And they're prepared to take action. They have proposed possibly a merger, bringing in the Pac-12 and the Mountain West, which I think that would make a 16-team conference. There's already 12 in the Mountain West, and then you add in the four, which would make it a 16-team league. American Athletic Conference also telling ESPN they would be willing to consider adding all four remaining Pac-12 schools. So you could see why schools like Stanford and Cal are kind of hesitant, right? They're going from being a Power 5 school to now we're in the same conference as, like, you know, nothing against Tulane or, you know, Rice or anything like that, but Tulane and Rice aren't the same as Arizona and Arizona State, right? Or USC and UCLA, right? It's a big drop-off in not just competition, but also status for those two schools that, you know, are very prestigious universities from an academic standpoint. And in the case of Stanford, too, they produce a ton of Olympic athletes. And, you know, while they could still do that, right, you're going up against Rice and other schools that maybe aren't on the same level of competition to you. So be interested to see what will happen with this and still plenty of discussion as to what might happen. But it is still a fluid situation. Again, the ACC does have a drop dead date. That's not really what I wanted to say there, but it's essentially what it is, of next Tuesday for schools that want to bolt as of 2024, who want to leave the pack or leave the ACC as of 2024. So you'd imagine if there is any news to report, there would be news to report by Monday or Tuesday. I guess keep your ears to the radio and your eyes to the internet over the weekend. This is just crazy. I still can't get over the ACC possibly adding Stanford and Cal.
Yeah, that's still
insane. I hope sanity works out, but the way college sports is trending right now, especially college football, like I've said this once, I'll say it again, like it just doesn't, sanity makes no sense. If we're gonna go full crazy, just let's just do it.
Yeah.
And then it's my hope as a college sports fan that someday down the road people see, like, man, why did we do this?
This is not working out very well. You know? Yeah. I wonder if the $30 million to $50 million was too much of an increase there. Like, if the Pac-12 had come back with 35 or something like that, would there have been more negotiation with ESPN instead of just goodbye? Like, this is an unserious sort of conversation? Because mm-hmm. that's a big gap.
$20 million jump.
That is a big gap. So I think ESPN, when the Pac-12 came back with that, ESPN was like, wow, we're not even close. So there's no point in talking. I wonder if the Pac-12 kind of overplayed their hand a little bit.
I think they did.
And I think they were expecting maybe some negotiation, and I think they probably would have been fine with somewhere like 35 to 40, but they went way overboard there. And it just makes you wonder if they had just come back with maybe a little bit more reasonable offer.
How about 35? It's true bartering, right? Yeah. It's trying to make a deal.
50 seems, yeah, like if I said $30 and someone said $50, I'd be like, yeah, that's, we're too far apart, like not happening, right, sort of thing. They just really misplayed there. I don't quite understand it, because it's not like the Pac-12 at that point had even been historically what the Pac-12 had been. So yeah, just really mismanaged and overplaying your hand and just not well thought out, it doesn't seem like.
319-366-1600, 6936, asking, will football make enough money to make up for the increase of travel for their other sports? I think these football's going to be given tons of cash back to the their schools. So I want to speak for any team specifically, but I feel like these media deals being so rich, the per school, you know, what they get is going to be so huge that I think some of these programs will have more money than they know what to do with.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you know, take any just average, like, women's rowing team. Like, I mean, you have the the money, the school by school amount, mm-hmm. and you divvy that up among all your sports programs. I mean, it, you know, for tons of new equipment and travel, and I don't know, but at the same time, the travel across the country is still something I don't think many people, I mean, people are talking about it, but I don't think they're really focusing on that. They're just focusing on, like, oh, Cal and Stanford are going to the ACC. Like, that's 3,000 miles.
Yeah.
To play a conference game.
Yeah.
Like Miami, Florida, the Hurricanes in the same conference as Stanford.
Yeah. The travel schedules for other non-football
sports. And that's football.
Sports, yeah.
For baseball. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Like,
for other non-football sports, they're traveling a lot more often than football are. Like, I mean, they would be, you're talking about maybe two trips on a way trip sort of thing, like flying out to Washington. Let's take like soccer or something like that.
Mm.
Flying out to Washington and then flying down to UCLA because it's a Thursday-Sunday schedule for like the women's soccer team.
Yeah.
That, I mean, that's a lot. That's brutal for a college student.
Right. And remember, they're going to be doing schoolwork on the plane.
Yeah.
Schoolwork in the hotel. They're going to have to zoom in to class or get the assignments that they're missing or the tests that they're missing.
Right.
And then they have to practice, then they have to play a game, and then, you know, you say you're doing the Eugene, Seattle, you know, trip.
Whatever,
or you know, you have USC and UCLA in the same weekend.
Or it might be busing if it's that close too. They might not see value in taking a plane from those two, which fair enough, but
then you gotta get on a plane again. It's just a whole bunch of logistics that are I think getting kicked to the wayside because football. And I'm not trying to play I'm not trying to play Helen Lovejoy here. Won't somebody please think of the children kind of thing? Like, but I kind of am.
Yeah.
Because I like baseball. I want teams to do well. Like, my alma mater, UW-Oshkosh, doesn't have to worry about this because the conference that they're in is in Wisconsin. Like, Oshkosh to Whitewater is, you know, like an hour and a half, whatever, you know, so it's not a bad trip. But, you know, you think of, you know, some of the smaller leagues, even you're seeing this in NAIA. My dad does games for Clark University in Dubuque. Their conference stretches out into Missouri and Kansas, you know, and that's a smaller scale. But for a tiny school in Dubuque, Iowa, it's a long trip, right?
Yeah.
And now you add in cross time zone, across the entire country for a team like Rutgers and a team like Maryland and stuff. It's, that's a bigger scale kind of example to my small scale example, but I don't mean to say that I'm not trying to, you know, be like Helen Lovejoy. Won't somebody please think of the children kind of thing, but we do need to think of this because it's not just impacting football, which is a once a week kind of thing.
Yeah, obviously football is the main revenue for any college athletic department. So should they have maybe a little bit more sway in what the department does? Yes, but that doesn't mean you just completely ignore every other sport in your department there, because I don't know. It just wouldn't be. It's not fair to the students and student athletes to just not even consider what their kind of schedules are going to be like.
319-366-1600. Justin with a good point on the text line. They should be used to class via Zoom because of the pandemic. That's true. Still, doesn't make it any easier to, you know, try to do what you're going to college for. Yes, you're there to play sports. You know, you're there for your athletic scholarship, but you also are there to get a degree, to further your education. What a novel concept, going to college for education. Was that Cardale Jones, we're not here to play school? Was that him at Ohio State?
Yeah, he said something along those lines. He won a national championship. He maybe gets a little bit more leeway.
Yeah, maybe he does. I don't know. 319-366-1600. Quick break. Back with a little bit more for you here on a Friday edition of the program.
Because we have so many clients referring us to their friends, I think that's our biggest, best story. Hi, I'm Patty with Network Computer Solutions. I really think it's about us building that relationship and being an extension of their business. And even if I am just talking on the phone to them, you can see that smile on their face and know that another problem is solved.
Call NCS at 247-7223, Network Computer Solutions. They're the missing piece to your IT puzzle. Make sure your cooling system is ready for the long haul this summer with preventative maintenance from E&J Geothermal. This smart step keeps you ahead of frustrating emergencies, is proven to extend the life of your cooling system, and can catch a small issue before it turns into a huge expense. Plus, E&J Geothermal is an expert in helping maintain your cooling system. Don't let the summer heat win. Schedule preventative maintenance today or ask E&J Geothermal about installing a new energy-efficient Climate Master geothermal system. Find out more at ejgeothermal.com.
What amazing feat can you accomplish in 2 seconds? You can shoot the winning shot of the championship game. You can rocket 110 feet into the sky in the world's fastest elevator. You can even perfect your yodel. But maybe the most monumental feat you can accomplish in 2 seconds is saving a life, your life, just by buckling your seatbelt. Click it or ticket. This message brought to you by the Iowa Governor's Traffic Safety Bureau.
Will they find a home? Sponsored by Geico. Sarah wants a yard.
My own little paradise.
Brad, however, hates yard work.
The only thing I hate more than cutting the grass is paying someone to cut the grass.
Compromise is tough, but these two won't have to compromise when they bundle home and car insurance with Geico. It's easy, and they could save even more. In the end, Sarah and Brad found a great home with a yard. A very, very small yard.
Time to get it done. And I'm done.
Bundling without compromise at geico.com.
At Grainger, we're for the ones who pay attention to every little detail. The ones who fuss, tinker, and sweat the small stuff. Because you know the tiniest thing can make the biggest difference when it comes to keeping business moving. We get it. We're the same way. Offering access to product experts to help you quickly and easily find what you need. So whatever your industry, you know you're always getting professional-grade products. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
251, back with you here for a few more minutes on a Friday at 319-366-1600. Spencer on Sports here every weekday from 2 until 3. Gym class is next. I'll be taking over the Todd Brommelkamp show again today between 4 and 6. Hope you hang out with us I could never talk on the show. I don't know why. Maybe it's the, don't they always say like 2 o'clock in the afternoon is like the time where you're kind of like, you had your lunch and then you're sloping down toward the end of your workday. I don't know. Maybe it's just the time of day. I swear I prepare for the show. I have papers everywhere. 319-366-1600. To basketball here. Sticking with a little college stuff before we dive into some NFL before we're out of time here today. A couple more exhibition games for the Iowa men's and women's basketball teams. The men's team crushing the Valencia All-Stars today. 119-83. Peyton Sanford, a double-double, 19 points and 11 rebounds. Tony Perkins with 16. Owen Freeman having a nice European trip. Freeman, a double-double, 10 points and 16 boards. 5 other Iowa players for the men's team getting into double-figure scoring, including DeSante Bowen, who had 13, Brock Harding with 12, and Ben Cricky, Josh Dix, and Price Sanford, each with 11. Iowa out-rebounding Valencia by 40, 8 steals and 4 block shots for Iowa. The men's team, as they took care of the Valencia All-Stars today, they are set to be in action next on Monday against the Barcelona All-Stars, which is set for noon Central Time. Iowa women also wrapping up a team against the Croatian club team. Isaac, I'm going to butcher this name again. How do you say the name of the team they played?
I think it's Trzeciewka.
Trzeciewka.
It's KK Trzeciewka 2009.
Okay.
I think.
We're going to go with that because I...
If there's any Croatian people listening, feel free to spell it out on the text line.
The Croatian club team. We'll just stick with that. But KK Trzeciewka 2009. We'll go with that. Iowa winning 106-53 in that. Caitlin Clark with 30 points. Molly Davis with 17, Sydia Fulter, 10 points and 9 boards, and Hannah Stolke, 15 points in just 17 minutes of action. So the Iowa women also with a win there. They're set to play the Croatian All-Stars coming up on Sunday at 1:30 Central Time. So a little bit of update there for you. We'll hear a little bit from Fran McCaffrey coming up between 4 and 6. Preseason NFL last night, Vikings falling to Seattle. Are we hyping up Drew Locke again after one game? Drew Locke from the Seattle Seahawks. Raise your hand if you forgot that he was in Seattle. I'm raising my hand over here. He was supposed to beat out Geno Smith last year, wasn't he? One game does not a season make, and we'll just leave it at that. But Drew Lock, 2 touchdown passes, a pick last night as Seattle came back to win 24-13. Nick Mullins leading the way for the Vikings, 139 yards and a touchdown. Ty Chandler, 41 yards rushing. Jalen Reagor, your leading receiver, 55 yards receiving. And the rookie, Jordan Addison, just one catch for 22 yards last night for the Vikings. Seattle with the win last night. Seahawks, their rookie star receiver, Jackson Smith and Jigba, 3 catches for 25 yards last night. Houston beating New England, not the best start for C.J. Stroud. It was first NFL action, so, I mean, you can't. Just like you can't hype up Drew Lock, you can't call C.J. Stroud a bust after his performance last night. 2 for 4, 13 yards, and a pick. Davis Mills and Case Keenum each throwing a touchdown pass for Houston there. A couple of rookie receivers having nice nights. Tank Dell, 5 catches for 65 yards. Xavier Hutchinson, former Cyclone, 1 catch for 20 yards last night. Story of the night, I think, was Malik Cunningham for the Patriots. Played receiver, played quarterback. Former Louisville Cardinal, 19 yards passing and 34 yards rushing. Scored a touchdown in the loss for the Pats last night. Tonight, you got a host of games. You've got the Packers and Bengals, also the Lions and the Giants, the Dolphins taking on the Falcons tonight, also Tampa and Pittsburgh, Cleveland and Washington, and Arizona taking on the Denver Broncos tonight. Bears, I've mentioned a couple times this week, play tomorrow at noon. And the Chiefs revealing today Patrick Mahomes and the starters will play some minutes in their game Sunday against the Saints, Sunday at noon for that one. So NFL preseason is up and rolling here for 2023. Did you watch any games last night?
Busy with soccer.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I mean, I did watch the first episode of Hard Knocks.
The other day. Okay.
So that was Aaron Rodgers. I kind of soured on him a little bit just due to a lot of his Green Bay stuff, and I'm a Packers fan. But he did come across as a lot more normal of a human being in the episode. I don't know if you watched it at all.
I did not.
Yeah. He came across a lot better than he had been, for sure.
From all I've heard, I think, and I believe this to be true, Aaron Rodgers just needed a reset. He wanted out of Green Bay so badly. He had been in Green Bay for so long. He was mad at the front office, and I think him getting to a different place is good for him, and it's good for Green Bay. I think that was good for all sides. So might not be good on the field for Green Bay, but we're going to see what Jordan Love has. He's expected to play some tonight against Cincinnati. Joe Burrow, I just saw on Twitter, he's throwing balls without a sleeve on his calf. So, I mean, what does that mean? He's not going to play tonight, obviously, but certainly, if he's healing fast, that's good news for Joey B. All right, that wraps up Spencer on Sports. More of the show, 2 more hours coming up between 4 and 6 as I sit in for Todd. Hope you join me then. We'll have plenty more reaction to Media Day. Dive in a little bit more to the NFL and some baseball stories. New top prospect list is out. MLB.com revamping their prospect list, and we'll take you through the Twins, the Brewers, the Cardinals, and so forth. Coming up between 4 and 6. Gym class is next. Enjoy the rest of your Friday. We'll see you again coming up at 4 here on KGYM.
Do you have 3 ex-wives and your current...